If you have your Bibles this morning, we can open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. We'll read that verse to begin with. However, we won't be spending any real length of time in that verse. It will set our minds for what we're going to be looking at overall this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you," Paul says, "that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Lord, asking for blessing. Father, what a privilege it is, what a joy, what an unimaginable provision it is that we can come before the Almighty God seeking blessing. And knowing, Lord, that you will offer it, you will give it, Father, and we can simply receive from you. Moment by moment, day by day, year by year, Father, you've been faithful. You've proven yourself faithful. You've proven yourself willing to bless and to provide. Help us, Father, to be faithful to receive all that you have, to give you that honor, to receive everything that you have provided for us. Bless us today as we consider your word. Bless us, I pray, together. And bless us individually as your people. We love you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think I don't have to tell you, I think I've actually mentioned it probably three or four times already, that there is, a holiday this week, on Thursday specifically. It's Thanksgiving, that day that is characterized by so many as being family, fellowship, and football. You know, it is what it is. Whatever your Thanksgiving looks like is certainly up to you. There's not a holiness that's attached to it. There's not even a modicum of real, biblical foundation of it. Everyone celebrates Thanksgiving, whether they're believers or not. It's not like Easter or Christmas that has something to do with Jesus. However, we understand. We do. That if we're going to be thankful for anything, there's only one that we can truly be thankful to, and that is to the Lord. So it is we make it a Christian holiday, if you will, because everything that we do is supposed to be with thanksgiving to the Lord, and rightly so. But that being said, whatever you do in regards to family, fellowship, and even football, what also is characteristic of Thanksgiving is eating to excess, if you get right down to it. We pack it away on Thanksgiving. I think I've mentioned it probably all 8 Thanksgivings that I have been your pastor. I've mentioned some regret, some remorse, some rueful thought about how much I ate or how much I was planning to eat, and that has not changed. I looked it up this year just for consideration as it applies to our lesson this morning. I looked up some statistics for Thanksgiving. So settle in here just for a second. The average American is going to pack away, average per American is going to pack away 3,000 to 4,500 calories on Thursday. Now, depending on what your recommended daily allowance is, your age, your sex, your whatever your demographic is, you have a certain caloric requirement. But I'm confident it's nowhere near 3,000 to 4,500 calories. Although we'll probably hit it, some of us. I will make it my aim to. 1.4 billion pounds of turkey will be consumed. Not purchased, but consumed. Eaten. I will not have any pounds of turkey eaten. I don't like turkey. My family doesn't eat turkey. But I'm going to be the great minority, I suppose. Because almost 1.5 billion pounds of turkey is going to be eaten on Thursday. 250 million pounds of potatoes will have been purchased by Thursday. 250 million pounds. 5 million gallons. This one kind of baked my noodle. 5 million gallons of jellied cranberry sauce will be consumed. Not just purchased, but consumed. 5 million gallons of jellied cranberry sauce. Now, I mentioned those three specifically for a reason. Turkey and potatoes are number one and number two, respectively, in regards to favorite dishes on Thanksgiving. Turkey is number one. That astounds me, actually, because half of all turkey eaten in America throughout the course of the year is consumed on Thanksgiving. The rest of the 50% is scattered throughout the rest of the year, but that's their favorite, they say. Potatoes being the close number two, and then after that is that horrendous stuff called stuffing. People like that sort of thing. If that's your bag, good for you. Cranberry sauce I mentioned because it's the least favorite of foods, even though 5 million gallons of jellied cranberry sauce will be consumed on Thursday. And so I'll ask you, as you sit here and your pastor is sitting here telling you all of these food statistics and all of that sort of thing, what do you need to have at Thanksgiving, food-wise? I'm confident that there will be some here that will say, I have got to have that green bean casserole. Man, you know, a little crispy French's onions on the top of it. That's not me. My mother-in-law likes that sort of thing, and that's fine. If you like it, that's your bag. That green Watergate salad, you know, pistachios, little chunks of fruit salad. Sign me up. I'm all about it. I will just say this. Here's what I need to have at Thanksgiving. I need mashed potatoes, the way that I make them, cream cheese, sour cream, fresh garlic, salt, pepper, that sort of thing. I need that Watergate salad, and I need pie. Pecan pie, pumpkin pie, apple pie, and cherry pie. I will have all of them. I'm not discriminatory when it comes to those things. I will eat all of those things to great excess on Thursday, and I will go back for more. I will do it for good reason. Number one being that those things are all delicious. I like delicious things. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that I will very likely, they're all bad for me, every one of those things. All of those things that I mentioned, mashed potatoes, the way I make them, pie, that Watergate salad even, all of it is bad for me, and I will very likely not touch the stuff for the rest of the year until next Thanksgiving. And the third reason is that all those things are delicious. I said that already, and I meant to say that twice. I want all of those things on Thursday in an all-you-can-eat capacity. That's what I want. And that is entirely first world of me. There's a certain measure of real shame that I have because I know that there are those who don't have the abundance that I do, that don't enjoy the abundance that I do. But I'm blessed in that I can do that, and I will come away from it feeling guilty of that indulgence. Now, that's for you to think about. What do you need to have? What do you need to eat at Thanksgiving? But this morning, in the spirit of the holiday, what I'd like to do is kind of this morning have what I have titled in my own mind, in my own notes, and in our title slide, have a Grace Community Church Thanksgiving feast, if you will. This morning, I have kind of compiled a number of dishes for you, if you will, totally speaking figuratively. Lots of quotation marks in my notes here. I have prepared several dishes that I would like to serve before you. I thought about some kind of, illustration, some kind of object lesson here, putting some platters out here or something, maybe getting into AI and crafting some dishes for you to see up here. But I'm leaving AI completely out of my sermons because I don't ever want to lean into that sort of thing. I think there's all kinds of problems. I need to get off my AI high horse. But let me say it this way. No object lessons for you. Lots of illustrations. Lots of figurative speaking this morning. I'm going to serve up several dishes here. They're going to be some standard dishes, actually. Standard things. Your run-of-the-mill turkey. Your run-of-the-mill mashed potatoes. Your run-of-the-mill sweet potatoes, if you will. Your run-of-the-mill stuffing that comes from the word. It will all be very basic, very fundamental, and I trust very, very filling, I suppose. Some of you will remember the name Jack Martin. I'm sad that many of you don't know that name, but Brother Martin, I remember hearing, I think it was his last lesson that he preached back at the old one, when he said, He said, I sat under the ministry of two different pastors, and he said, and they prepared gourmet meals for me for years and years and years. And he says, and here I am just going to give you beans and cornbread. Man, I love beans and cornbread. I do. I get full on beans and cornbread. So that's what I have for you this morning. Nothing particularly gourmet, but several dishes for you. And what I'm going to bring out with each one of these little dishes here is a recipe. Not a recipe per se, but just what you can take for yourself and be reminded of the abundance of these things. Sometimes my kids will text me and they'll say, Dad, can I have your recipe for chocolate chip cookies? Dad, can I have your recipe for chili or whatever the case might be? And I have them all in a, well, I have them in document form now so I can just text them out to them because they ask for them quite often. I like cooking for people. I like preparing things for them. I take joy in giving someone something that they like, but I like when they can learn for themselves and they can have it anytime they want to. So that's, after this long introduction, is just, well, what we're doing this morning. I'm going to present some things to you and give you these dishes here and remind you that these things are all in an all-you-can-eat capacity. They're things that we need to have. Things that we need to have on a daily basis. And some of those things, you might be sitting here right now needing something of these specifically right now today. You need a helping of this. You need a serving of that. And so that's what we're going to consider this morning. So I'll ask you that question. Put away Thursday. We're not talking about pie. What figuratively would you like a helping of today? I was going to have you raise your hands and someone tell me what they need a helping of. But I think that that would probably lead us down a number of different rabbit holes. And as I was looking at all the different options and the things that different ones might say, well, I thought, well, we're going to be here till Thursday if I take everyone's, well, requests, if you will. So I will give you some general ones, like I said, just some overall ones, things that I know all of us need, but you might need more in particular. As I heard the prayer requests, some of these were mentioned, even indirectly, if not directly. So, well, loosen your belts, I guess, and let's prepare. Let's just feast together this morning and then understand that we can feast like this every single day. Every single day. The first one, how about I give you one? Do you need a helping of wisdom this morning? I do every morning. Well, the Lord, thankfully, he gives liberally. Now, I need you to warm up your fingers this morning because we have a lot of scripture. And if we have to, I will cut it short and just leave the rest of such things for you to study on your own. But get ready to zoom through some scripture this morning. It's fair to say, certainly, that all of us could use a helping of wisdom every single day. Proverbs 14:33 says that wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. Saints, I want to have understanding. I want to have wisdom for my day. I want to have wisdom for my dealings with people. I want to have wisdom with my dealings with God. I want to have wisdom with my dealings in the Word of God. I want to have wisdom and understanding in everything that the Lord calls for me to interact with. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, so it is that I want to have that. He describes his wisdom, this wisdom that we should be seeking in James 3 and verse 17. When it says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield or submit, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, let me tell you from the outset here, just in this verse alone, how many lessons could we branch just this verse alone into? I'm not going to give you a sermon on wisdom this morning. I'm not going to give you a series on wisdom in the days to come. There is a lot here that we need to grasp that it would be wise of us to understand in regards to just wisdom. But we'll just kind of bottle it all up together. Prepare this big bowl of mashed potatoes without learning everything that's inside of it and just recognize it for what it is. We need understanding, we need knowledge, we need discernment, we need to know how to think, how to act, how to deal with the things and the people and the circumstances that the Lord allows to come into our lives. Again, to stay in the confines of our theme, we simply need to understand this. That wisdom and all of the other things that I'm going to bring out to you this morning, all the other plates that I'm going to present, they're all necessary for us. They're all necessary for our success. They're all necessary for us to partake in and go back to the well for continually if we want to be victorious, as Scott was talking about this morning, to be in that bridal calling, that highest calling. Wisdom being one of those things, it's both a product of spiritual growth and it's a promoter of spiritual growth. If you become wiser, if you gather more knowledge and apply that knowledge, you become wiser in the Lord. You become wiser in the things of the Lord. It pushes you forward in the Lord. Then you gather more wisdom as you go, and then that pushes you forward. There are all kinds of things to understand about this wisdom. We should want this blessing. We should seek this blessing and more of it daily. And the joy of it is this wisdom and all of the other things, all of these other plates the Lord gives to us in an all-you-can-eat capacity here. Not everything does he give us. Well, not everything do we need to have day after day after day, but wisdom definitely. Wisdom and these other things, we need to have all you can eat, and we need to seek our fill. For the Lord gives wisdom, it says in Proverbs 2 and verse 6. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth to our heart, sometimes directly to our ears. From his mouth to the word of God, to our eyes and to our hearts in that way. But it's from his mouth that comes knowledge and understanding, specifically in his word. But it says that he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He has quite a supply of this wisdom. In the old job, I used to go and inspect the businesses around town. So we'd go back in places where customers don't typically go. I kind of had a love-hate relationship with going to the restaurants in town. If they were the ones that I wanted to go to, I didn't want to go back in the kitchen because no question I was going to see something that was going to check that box that I wasn't going to go back to that restaurant. It's just the human nature. It's just the way things are. You see how the sausage is made, quote unquote. You don't want to see those things. But there were other times where I really enjoyed seeing, well, there's a little restaurant right over here off of 3rd Street. It's called Neighbors. I think that's the name of it now. Neighbors Cafe, something like that. And we'd have a fire late at night and get done with the fire. We'd be smoke tired, 4:30 in the morning, come back. It's too late to go back to bed and go back to sleep. And so the workers would be there already preparing for the day. So we'd walk in and they'd invite us in and we'd sit down without any other customers, just in a little dark corner of that place while they were baking cinnamon rolls and making our food. Their thing is to give a cinnamon roll with every dish. And so we would watch those guys pull out rack after rack of cinnamon roll after cinnamon roll. It's huge, great, vast quantities of it. Big, huge bags of flour, and they'd put them in these industrial mixers, and you'd see this supply of stuff as they were preparing for us. It smelled awesome. Tasted awesome. God has this supply, this great, unfathomable supply of wisdom. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. There are a lot of upright. And he has a lot of wisdom for each one of them. God has great stores of this, and thankfully he's willing to share it. If any of you lacks wisdom, James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you see some extra bold font here in this scripture, it's because those are your absolutes, if you will. Any, all, will. If any of you lacks wisdom, there's no one excluded here. Let him ask of God who gives to all. No one is excluded here. And he gives liberally and without reproach, abundantly, and it will. That's an absolute. It will be given to him. So God has these great stores. God calls for any of us to come to him, and he will give this. Wisdom, saints, it's available to us. We need it. And guess what? The Almighty God has it, and he wants to give it to you. So, there's a little serving of wisdom for you this morning. If you're ever hungry for wisdom, all you have to do is ask for it, and God will give it to you abundantly. Just a small little consideration. Now, that being said, I spend a little bit longer on wisdom than I will on any of the other ones, because so much of this applies to everything else. All of these things I will present to you this morning. All of them God has great supply of. All of them we have great need of. And all of them he is greatly, greatly willing to give to you each and every day. So, moving forward, let me give you another one. Anybody here need a helping of strength today? Anyone need a helping of pick-me-up today? Just power, if you will. You might be feeling weak this morning, weak emotionally, or weak physically, weak spiritually, all of the above, perhaps. Perhaps you'd like a helping of strength. Isaiah 26 and verse 4. I could leave it just at this verse in understanding, well, the quantity of what the Lord has. In Isaiah 26 verse 4, just a simple statement here, a simple exhortation. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, in Jehovah, Jehovah the Almighty, Jehovah the Self-Existent One, Jehovah the Everlasting One is everlasting strength. It's found in Him. He is the source, the eternal, everlasting, infinite source of power, like those bags of flour, way more than we could ever even process or consume for ourselves. And what does He promise to do with it? Move a few chapters to the right. 14 chapters, in fact, Isaiah chapter 40. And let's read verses 28 through 31 in regards to His willingness to share this abundant store of strength with His people. I like when it asks us questions sometimes, because it, rather than just saying, this is how it is, sometimes it calls us to recognize how we need to know this is how it is. Have you not known? Shouldn't you know this? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. In Him is everlasting strength. He is everlasting strength, has everlasting strength, has untouchable strength. He is who He is. His understanding is unsearchable. His wisdom is fathomless. Well, thankfully, it goes on in verse 29 where it says, He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Those ones who, physically speaking, naturally speaking, maybe not emotionally speaking, but perhaps emotionally speaking, even those ones who, young men, the strapping, everything going for them physically, the whole world is before them, their whole life is before them, even they faint and are weary at times. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, regardless of man or woman, regardless of age, regardless of youth, regardless of health, regardless of whatever else you want to apply demographically to these ones, those who wait on the Lord, all those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those are absolutes. It's going to happen for those ones who wait on the Lord, who will receive His strength. You can go there if you want to, but Deuteronomy 33 is kind of taking it out of context, but it's a blessing for that, well, the tribe of Asher, where Moses said to them, as your days, so shall your strength be. It's consistent with that for us. We understand that. It wasn't isolated only to Asher. As your days, so shall your strength be. If your days are long, if your days are short, if your days are abundant in difficulty, if your days don't require great, as your days are sufficient for that day, the Lord will provide your strength. Whatever your day brings to you, the Lord will strengthen you for that. It doesn't matter for how long, it doesn't matter for how short, the Lord's strength is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you, we understand. He told that to Paul when Paul said, take this thorn away from me three times. My grace is sufficient for you. Well, one of His graces for you is strength. As your day is, it does not matter how overwhelmed you are. He's never overwhelmed. And indeed, you need never be overwhelmed because He is with you. He upholds you with His right hand. He gives you all the strength you need for your day. Ours is just to receive it from Him. He tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, in Philippians 4:13. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Saints, I could give you any number of scriptures. This is just a few for time's sake, as I see the minute hand just spinning. I could wax on and on about the provision of strength that the Lord gives to you. But there is a very quick, down and dirty, well, there's a helping of green bean casserole for you in regards to strength. And the abundance that is there. And you can go back to the well of strength and understand the abundance and His willing to share it with you. There's a little serving of strength for you this morning. And if you're ever hungry for strength, just ask Him for it and He will give it to you continually. You're starting to see a theme here, no doubt. Anybody need a helping of peace this morning? I need peace. I think I need peace just about every morning. Not because I'm just riddled with anxiety, but because there's always something to deal with, yeah? There's always something trying to bump you off. The news, if you look at the news, I always steer you away from social media, but if you see social media, if you have family, if you have people living with you in your home, you need peace. It just is what it is. If you have kids, you need peace. If you're married, you need peace. It just is what it is. We need it. We need to not be bumped off the rails of our stability with the Lord. Jesus said that sufficient for the day is its own evil or its own troubles. Each day has more than enough natural justification to cause us to be anxious, to cause us to be troubled, to cause us to be worried. You heard the prayer request this morning. But the fact of the matter is, as you're turning to John 14, we don't have any spiritual justification to be anxious. I mean, we have no scriptural justification to be anxious when it gets right down to it. We have no justification as we look at things from the perspective of who we are in the Lord Jesus. Well, to ever be worried, to ever be distraught, to ever feel like, well, things are out of control. Because while they might be outside of our control, they're never outside of His control. And He wants our good. Jesus left us a provision. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, I've held my kids, not anymore, Judah's pretty big these days, but I've held them when they were big enough to be in my arms, small enough to be in my arms. And I've told my kids a number of times, "Don't be scared. Everything is fine." Knowing full well that they weren't going to be. But also knowing full well that they had no need to be. Scared of the dark. Scared of what was under their bed. Scared of what was in their closet. Scared of a sound that they heard. I would tell them, "Don't be scared." And they would continue to be afraid for a time till they fell asleep or whatever the case might be. But I knew. There's nothing under the bed. There's nothing in the closet. It was very simple. When Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid," I believe that He knows who we are, and He knows that we're going to fail in this, even if it's only for a brief time. But I think that He also says it fully understanding that we need not be afraid. We need not be troubled. That there literally is nothing to be troubled by or afraid by because we are in His hands. Might we suffer pain? Yes. Might we suffer natural loss? Yes. Might we suffer any number of things in this life? Yes. Do we have to be afraid of such things? No. No, we don't, because, well, even in suffering in this life, we will not suffer. If we receive those things from His hand, we aren't going to suffer loss in the actual life that we are concerned with the real life that we have, the spiritual life that we have. All of these things, He says, do not be afraid, do not be troubled. I have peace for you. And this measure of peace that He has is, as we mentioned a moment ago, all you can eat. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, that again, a number of these passages are going to be familiar to you. Be anxious for nothing, He says. This is Paul speaking. He's speaking the word of God, speaking the heart of God. Be anxious for nothing. I mean, that's an absolute, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, another absolute, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, there's an all-inclusive absolute, all understanding, will guard, another absolute, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The absolutes are pretty vast here in everything that they're applying to, but it says what it says, be anxious for nothing. Be at peace. Everything, all, will, all of those things. There's a godly abundance for the provision of anything that you might encounter. Anything that might come your way, no matter what the day is comprised of. It isn't too big for, well, it isn't too big for Him to provide peace for it, and it isn't too small for us to ask and seek peace, seek for peace for that thing. Doesn't matter, because He has it abundantly. And He says, be anxious for nothing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, Peter says in 2 Peter 1:2. That's where it comes from. It's the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord and the wisdom we talked about earlier. If you're feeding on wisdom daily, moment by moment, part of that wisdom is going to bring you an understanding of where you can find peace and how you can have peace, regardless of what the day brings. You will keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3. As I've said in the past, peace, peace, literally. It's peace, peace. It's peaceful peace. It's the peacefulest peace you can possibly have. You can do this all day long. It's perfect, peaceful peacefulness. You will keep him in this perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Saints, that's what it comes down to. No matter what comes, and when I say no matter what, I'm speaking in absolutes. Whatever comes, the most horrifying thing, and I'm not going to list anything, the most horrifying thing that can come into your life if it's allowed by the hand of God, and you receive those horrors from his hand, he turns it into blessing. He does it, and we can have peace in knowing that. There's a little serving of peace for you this morning. If you're ever hungry for peace, ask for it, and God will give it to you continually. I like joy, too. I'd like to have a serving of joy this morning. Perhaps you would. I like joy because it's exponentially deeper than just mere happiness. We can have happiness. We can have diversion. We can have just a simple something that makes us grin in the moment. It's fleeting. I like joy much better. Joy is incredible. Joy is something that goes deeper and wider, and it's founded on something that doesn't shake. Joy is something that we have to pursue sometimes. I think it was Sister Anna that prayed on Friday, just a brief prayer, just asking for joy as we left this place. I don't know what put that on her heart, but I know that there are any number of things that can come to us that can try to rob our joy. Take away the things that cause us to rejoice. Move us off of the things that we find that joyful strength in the Lord. But it's available to us. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, David says this. Psalm 16, 11, you will show me the path of life. He's talking to the Lord, of course. In your presence is fullness, completeness. Strong's even goes on to say satiety. Is that how you pronounce it? To be sated. I learned that with the New York Times crossword puzzle decades ago. To be full of something is to be sated, to be thoroughly sated, satisfied. You're full at the table. You're done. You push away. You're sated. That's what it's saying. In your presence is the satedness, the completeness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. All you can eat joy is found in the Lord. That's what it's saying there. In his presence. And that doesn't just mean in the halls of heaven. It doesn't just mean when we see him face to face. Are you in his presence right now? Where two or three are gathered in his name, in my name, there am I in the midst of them, he says. And as I say often, there are a couple sets of two and three here gathered here. And we're in his name. We're in his presence. Do you feel the fullness of joy of being in his presence? We should. We should. All you can eat joy is available to you right now. Peter promises it regardless of circumstance in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. In this you find joy, he says. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Those things are going to come. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're suffering for the present time so that you may be tested, and you may be a testimony, and you may be an encouragement, and you may grow. Talks about Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you don't see him. All you have to see around you right now is the difficulty, is the trial, is the horror that I talked about a moment ago. Even so, though you do not see him, yet believing, there's the crucial piece there, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, unspeakable. No words capable of describing it completely. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's a joy that doesn't make any sense. That there's no justifiable reason, naturally speaking, that you should have it. And yet you have it. Because you don't look at just the horror. You look at the outcome of that horror. You look at God's hand in that horror. You look at God's protection in that horror. You look at God's building up and his strength in that horrifying thing. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full," crammed full like a net of fish. It's used elsewhere for just that context. Replete, full, that your joy may be all you can eat. You can't put in any more. "Until now you have asked nothing in my name," he says in the next chapter, verse 24. "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Come to him and ask him for what he wants to give to you. By his will, in his will, such things as wisdom, such things as strength, such things as peace, such things as joy, and your joy will be full. He promises this. Saints, there's a little serving of joy for you this morning. I take great joy in recognizing the abundance of the measure of joy that he has in his pocket, if you will, and his willingness to share that joy with me and give that joy inexpressible, unspeakable, and full of glory in times when outside of it, well, I'd be crushed probably. Crushed and unwilling and unable to even stand up and move forward. If you're ever hungry for joy, ask him for it and he will give it to you. He'll give it to you continually and perpetually. Saints, perhaps as I'm moving faster now, perhaps as you woke up this morning, you might have felt just a little bit, well, unloved. Can you feel unloved? Well, let me say it this way. It's not impossible to feel so. It's not impossible to feel unloved, but what is impossible is for you actually to be so. And I'm just being straight with that. It is impossible for you to be unloved because God is love and God loves you. His every piece of his existence is love. That's what we understand. He loves us with the same love that he presented to Israel in Jeremiah 31:3. "The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love,'" Jeremiah says. Everlasting, that's an infinite. I mean, it's an absolute. It's unmeasurable, I hate using the word plumbable because it's just so kind of kitschy, but you can't plumb the depths of it. You can't get to the bottom of it. It's everlasting. It's infinite love. And that's what he has loved us with. "With loving kindness I have drawn you." It's perpetual love. The end cannot be seen. This word has the thought of a vanishing point. You know, if you look at depth and forced perspective, you take two lines that go like this in art, and it looks like it vanishes. It's just two lines that are going this way, but somewhere in the distance, it gives the illusion of faraway distance. Well, the depth of his love, the end of his love, is distant from you. It's you can't get to the end of it. You can't get to the bottom of it. You can't get to the breadth and the width and all of those other dimensions we talk about. God is love. He is eternal himself. And so if he's eternal and he is love, then that love is eternal. It's everlasting. I keep looking for all of these words to describe it, these superlatives. There aren't enough of them because we can't comprehend them. Because that's how eternal that it is. Love never fails. God is love. God never fails. His love never fails. It's always there. It's always abundant. It's always upon you. It's always for you. It's always in you. Again, I can't explain it better than that. Romans 8 agrees with this. Paul says, "I am persuaded that neither death nor love nor angels," I'm sorry, "death nor life," love doesn't oppose itself, "that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any," there's our absolute, "nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Saints, if you woke up feeling unloved this morning, you were wrong. You might be unloved by your spouse. You might be unloved by your coworkers. You might be unloved by your boss. You might be unloved by your kids. You might be unloved by any number of other people, perhaps. But if you woke up feeling unloved in general, it's impossible to be so. Because God loves you. He's infinite. He's eternal. And he loves you whether you want it or not, whether you realize it or not. But it's immeasurable and it's always there. It's eternal in measure, it's abiding, it's untouchable, it's unfailing, it's all of those things. That's a little serving of love for you this morning. I hope that you felt it. But if you're ever hungry for love day by day, simply go to him and ask for it. And he gives it. He gives it continually. Saints, I could go on and on. On and on. Do you need enabling this morning? You need a serving of capability or encouragement? Does he give that sort of thing day by day? Yes, he does. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, enabled, given the capability for every good work. There again is our absolute. Every good work. If God calls you for anything, calls you to anything, he'll equip you with whatever you lack every single day, every single moment, for every single good work that he has called you to. And if he's called you to a work, it is a good work. He equips you for that. What do you need? What capability do you need? Any number of different things. But I kind of settled on one just to attach to it. Do you need courage? I feel like I need to say that in a cowardly lion type voice. But in all reality, do you need courage? It's a little bit different than just peace. You can have peace in sitting still. Courage in moving forward. Saints, he has courage for you. For whatever your circumstance is. I don't know what it is. But I can tell you this. We're not promised merely to conquer the obstacles that are before us. To conquer the works that he sets before us. We're not only called to conquer the things that the enemy brings before us. He tells us in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There's that abundance. There's that unfathomable, unmeasurable provision that he has for us. Our stores of capability that he has for us, well, they exceed what is needed for the day. They exceed what is needed for that work. We are more than able to go up and take the country, as the Israelite spies said. We're well able. We can do this, Joshua and Caleb said. The other ones were like, no, we're as grasshoppers. We can't do this. He says, we are well able to go up. We are more than capable of going up and not just conquering, but more than conquering all of these things. It was a good example for us, and they threw that opportunity away, unfortunately. Saints, he offers us the same reasons to have that same courage that Joshua and Caleb had. Joshua told the people in Joshua 1:9, one of my favorite verses. I take a great deal of comfort from this. God says, have I not commanded you? There's that question. Have I not told you this is the way that it is? Have I not directed you? Have I not said this? Be strong. If I've called you to this, this is the obvious result. Be strong. Do not be afraid. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I hate when my voice does that because I feel so much more powerful than that voice would project. I'm so moved by the thought that he would accompany me in any place that I might go. As I'm following his command, he says, I want you to go here, and I'm going to be with you. So the obvious and only reasonable response is to be strong and of good courage, to not be afraid, not be dismayed, not be put out, not be abrased, not be any of those things, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Saints, have courage. Have courage to do what he's called you to do. Have courage to stop doing what he's told you to stop doing. Have courage. A little serving of courage and capability for you this morning. If you're ever hungry for courage and need it, ask for it. Go to the Word and remember, he has commanded you. Be strong. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid, for he is with you wherever you go. God will give that continually. There's our Thanksgiving feast for the morning. I'm going to stop there in regards to any other ones. I could have gone on. Could have gone on at length. At the very bottom you see, etc., because there are so many dishes that the Lord could have given for us to prepare today that we need to be preparing for ourselves every single day. He offers us so much to work with. We can prepare these dishes for ourselves, and we should be rightly dividing the truth for ourselves moment by moment. But saints, what this tells me is that there's no lack of capability for it. There's no lack of food for us. The Israelites never lacked manna in the wilderness when there was nothing growing out there, at least nothing to their liking. There was nothing promised them by the natural circumstances and surroundings in the wilderness. So the Lord said, I don't need natural circumstances. Poof, here's food for you every day. Now they said, we're tired of this loathsome bread, and they got tired of the provision. Saints, how can we tire of wisdom? How can we tire of having courage? How can we tire of having joy? How can we tire of having the Lord's love? How can we reject these things and say, I'm tired of this loathsome bread, when it's all you can eat day in and day out? That's our flesh that tires of that loathsome bread. But may we not give in to our flesh. May we not ever go away hungry. Go to bed at the evening hungry for the wisdom that was available, hungry for the strength and the peace and the love and the joy that was available. May we never go hungry, spiritually speaking. Because God is able to make all grace and every grace, every one of those graces that we saw there on that list, God is able to make every grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Saints, don't go away hungry. Don't go away hungry in the day that the Lord offers you an abundance of the manna of His Word, His love, His peace, His wisdom, all these provisions that He wants to feed you with. Let's bow our heads together once again. Glory to God. Father, how I thank you this morning for the abundance of your provision. Oh, Lord, for the bread of life that you give to us, that Jesus is. All these things, Father, our wisdom, our righteousness, all those things Jesus became for us. And every time we partake of that bread of life, Father, we can have each one of these things. We only need to come to Him. We only need to cry out to Him and ask in His name to you, Father, for more peace, for the joy that is lacking, Father, for the courage and the enabling. Father, all of these things we can ask in the name of Jesus, and we will receive in abundance. Thank you for your sweetness, your provision to us, Father. May we receive. May we be faithful in receiving from your hand everything that you've been so giving, so gracious in providing. I love you for this, Father. Bless us today and help us to leave this place never to be hungry, Father, when you've offered to us everything that you do. Bless us today, I ask, in the name of Jesus, for his sake. Amen.